Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the line is one of the newest members of the Boston Red Sox. Joel Piñeiro is with us. Joel, it's Dale and Michael in Boston. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome. I mean, sort of. You'll get here soon enough, and it'll be about 4 degrees warmer than it is there, I think.
That's what it feels like. That's what everybody's been saying.
Tell me what the biggest adjustment is for any guy who's been a starting pitcher basically his whole career and now, you know, looking at trying to make a transition perhaps to even a closing role.
I think the toughest thing is going to be the concentration and the focus point, knowing that it's a crucial part of the ball game, late in the ball game, and just knowing that you only got a couple outs to get. And then that's going to be the toughest thing. As a starter, you can give up a couple runs early in the game, but you know you can hold those guys, and 6-7 innings later, you're still winning the ball game. But I think that's going to be the biggest key for me.
You know, Joel, I was talking to Dale here earlier about your career saves, and you have one in your entire career.
That happened last year, yeah.
Yeah. Did you talk to anybody about how you can approach this job, not only physically but mentally?
Yeah, you know, the only couple guys I talked to was Eddie Guardado when he was in Seattle, and then J.J. Putz that came the closer in Seattle after he left. But, at that point, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. So as soon as I got here, I've been talking a little to Papelbon, just trying to get, you know, give me a little feedback on what goes on over there. But I'm still learning. I'm still going through the motions here. And I'm, you know, still trying to fit in with all these guys.
What did Papelbon tell you?
No, he just said, you know, just going out there, you know, with the crowd behind you and everything kind of helps you out. But as long as, you know, Veritek, he said that's the number one key for him. And first pitch strikes and everything goes on from there.
Is there something to be said, too, for knowing that you can go out there and just air it out? And not have to save anything, not leave anything in the tank because you're not going to have to be out there that long.
Exactly. That's going to be the one thing. You go out there for three outs and give it all you got, whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4 pitches, whatever you need. And I think that's going to be a bigger key for me, knowing that just going out there and make sure this out by out, but giving it all I have.
You know what, Joel, there was a two-season stretch where you had 30 wins and 18 losses. And then after that, there were two straight 11-loss seasons, and last year a 13-loss season. What was the difference between the last 3 years and the 2 years previous?
I wish I would have known so I would have changed it right away. But, you know, I'm not a guy to find excuses and say this is why I struggle, but I had a little arm injury in 2004. But other than that, I thought I was having a good season, and then July came around, and that's when I had the problem. And they shut me down the rest of the year. It took me 8 months to get back, even though I had no surgery. Took me 8 months to get back and going, but you know what? I think it was just I was hoping for a change, just some new environment, new people, and then thank God this happened here in Boston.
You know, one of the things that you can do is you can probably help your new teammates with an idea of what it's like to handle the Japanese media contingent. You probably were through it with Ichiro out in Seattle. Has it been different than what you experienced out there with Daisuke?
No, from the first day I was driving into the ballpark, and it was like, yeah, they're here already. I mean, they're here from 6 o'clock in the morning, even though we get here at 8 or 9, they're here. And it started from Sasaki. I mean, they went through Sasaki and Ichiro and Hasegawa and Jojima. So they always had their crowds with them. But I mean, obviously Ichiro and Daisuke were the biggest crowds, and it's like they tape every second of their life, even though they're saying the same thing. But they just want that one thing. It's weird.
How hard is it, do you think, for a Japanese star to assimilate himself into North America and Major League Baseball?
I think it's tough for them. They still want to come out here and try to do the same thing they were doing back in Japan, even though I heard a couple things that they had, you know, six-man rotations and all this stuff over there. But I think they still want to come out here and impress people, and that's why maybe they have a little extra pressure on them.
Ichiro is not new to any baseball fan. We've seen him for many years. But you got a chance to play with him and see him up close every day. Offensively, we know what he brings to the table. Defensively, did you feel like he was one of those guys who could save you a run a game or a couple runs over two or three week stretch?
Definitely, especially with the arm. I mean, he'll hold some people at second and third and at home plate. But he's not the fastest man in the world, but he has quick feet, and he'll get to the ball. And he has a great reach, and he did save some runs for me out there.
When Theo came to you and talked about signing you in Boston, how did he approach it? How did he sell you on the idea that this was the place you wanted to be?
Well, I guess the first call was to my agent, and he goes that the Red Sox were interested in as a back end of the bullpen situation. And at the beginning, I was like, well, you know what, maybe I want to find a starting job somewhere else. But I just sat down and talked to some people, and I said, all right, if I'm going to be at the back end of the bullpen, I said it will only be with the Boston Red Sox. So I got the opportunity. I got the chance the way they walked me through it, from John to Tito and everybody else. So I like the way they treated me. They took it step by step, and that's why I'm here.
I wanted to ask you about John Farrell, too, if I could. I mean, you've worked with different pitching coaches. John is new here this year. What's been your experiences with him so far?
Well, it's been nice. Today I had my first bullpen with him, and he just asked me a little bit about my arm angle and my reach and my release point, but it was just little stuff. But now when we get into more of a tougher situation, I'm pretty sure I get more feedback from him. But today was the first bullpen, and, I felt great.
You have a catcher now in Jason Varitek, who has a great reputation in the game. Who's the best catcher you've worked with and been most comfortable with in the past?
Well, I got to say Dan Wilson when I was in Seattle all those years. He was just a guy. Obviously, he didn't have that same intensity that Varitek had, but he had the knowledge. He knew everything. He studied the game really good, and he kind of helped the pitcher, especially I was a young guy coming up at that time. But the great things I heard from Tech is amazing, and, I can't wait to get out there and work with him.
I always wonder, let's be honest, the ball's got to leave your hand. No matter what he calls, no matter how much confidence you have, you've still got to throw the pitch. Do you have to develop, though, that trust in Tech, or do you take it on faith based on what other people have told you?
Nah, even though I haven't worked with him, I already trust him. it's just something, whatever pretty sure he's going to have the right idea, and whatever he calls, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on the right page with him. So, most of the time I'm going to trust him. There will be a couple of times that you have that one feeling that you say you don't want to throw it, even though it's the right pitch, but I'm pretty sure 95% of the time I'm going to be behind him.
When was the first time you talked to Varitek?
First day in the clubhouse, he had the locker right next to me, and I looked up, and I was like, uh-oh, I got the big guy next to me. So, and he's a captain, he's the leader, so little by little, I said, he's like, oh, you got great arm, you got great stuff, and he's like, you're going to like it here, and just went on from there.
How have you liked pitching at Fenway?
Obviously, from the numbers, it wasn't that good. Until last year, I got my first win in there in Boston, but the fan support, it's completely different when it's on your side. I mean, just here in the second day of practice, it feels like we're almost about to start the season, so... The fans, I think they're going to be behind me, and hopefully I take that same intensity from the fans and go out there and work with that.
Was there anything mental about pitching at Fenway? I mean, were you very conscious of the wall and just trying to avoid it? I mean, what was your approach when you were here?
I was just scared of all those big guys I had to face. That's the only thing. I mean, from 1 through 9, it was always tough. We get the Poppy and the Manny and, Tech, and it was just Trot Nixon, and all the way through the lineup it was tough. But, that's why, thank God, I'm on this side now.
We appreciate you taking the time to join us. We're looking forward to watching you work, and we hope you enjoy your time in a Red Sox uniform.
Thank you. I love it so far.
I appreciate it.
All right, Joel, thanks.
Thank you.
Take care. That is Joel Pinheiro joining us from Fort Myers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.